1 John chapter 4, this morning as we continue our study through this book, we'll be considering verses 7 through 13. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 13. And we'll begin by reading our text together. If you'd please follow along with me as we read those verses. 1 John chapter 4, beginning in verse number 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for the wonderful morning that we've had together already, studying your word during the early morning of Bible study, and then the song service and the warm fellowship. Lord, thank you for the encouragement of these things and how you use it in our hearts to draw us closer to you, to give us hope and healing and refreshing and just so many things, Lord, that maybe we don't even recognize. We just thank you for these rich blessings. We do thank you for our veterans. We just pray that you would give them courage and strength for the battles that lie ahead. And we pray for our nation's leaders, our president-elect and vice-president-elect, and those that will be entering office or re-entering office. We pray for your protection and wisdom and guidance by the Holy Spirit and godly men, godly counselors that would help lead this nation in back in a direction that would be morally upright and pleasing to you. Lord, as we open your word this morning, we do so with thankfulness for this opportunity to worship you in freedom and peace, and thank you for the opportunity to learn more about you, Lord, about your character and how that should impact us. Please help us by the ministry of your Spirit. May he guide our thoughts and our words. May we receive your word with all readiness of mind and then live it out, Lord, to your honor and your glory and for the salvation of lost souls for whom our Lord Jesus Christ gave his life. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The Son of God taught us that to love God with all the heart, soul, mind, and strength is the greatest commandment. And then the Spirit of God in Paul told us that love or charity is the greatest of all the characteristics. And apart from loving God, our lives lack purpose, direction, and fulfillment. And without love, all of our sacrifice, all of our service are so much smoldering hay and stubble. Paul told us in 1 Timothy 1:5, now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart. That is, charity or love that flows through a pure heart is the end. It's the purpose for all the commandments and charges that God gives us in his word. It's more of a destination. It is the goal that God has for us to have love or charity. Again, 1 Corinthians 13, Paul said, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, though I give my body to be burned, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and yet have not charity, he says, I am nothing, and it profiteth me nothing. Speaking, serving, and sacrificing without love are esteemed as nothing and accomplish nothing of eternal value in God's true valuation. I think it's safe for us to conclude from the scriptures that God esteems love to be very, very important. Without it, our testimony, our service for the Lord is nothing. Now, as the disciple whom Jesus loved, the Apostle John grasped the importance of this great virtue. And he emphasizes love in his gospel account as well as in his epistles or his letters, and especially this one that we're studying. And so in the preceding verses, John has warned the beloved, verse 7, in the preceding verses, beginning in verse 1, that we, as God's beloved, are not to be deceived by seducing spirits. Because he loves us, he wants to warn us of spiritual danger so that we're protected. But having given us that necessary warning, which may not have been so pleasant, immediately John returns to his spirit-inspired focus and passion in this letter, and that is God's love. God's love for us, God's love in us, and God's love through us. And as John does this, as he returns to this central focus on the theme of love, in verse number 8, John expresses a truth which, though evidenced elsewhere in Scripture, was not previously stated so clearly and so definitely. And here we read it, God is love. God is love. Now, love is not God. Okay, we don't worship love. We worship God. But just as God is faithful, God is holy, God is righteous, God is a consuming fire, so God is characteristically love. He himself is love. It is part of his being. The love of God is pure. It is everlasting. It is changeless. It is unselfish. It is perfect. And that truth, the truth that God is love, should impact us if we know God. If we are his children, the fact that God is love bears some very important ramifications. This morning for our message, we're going to explore this theme or this topic together, because God is love. Because God is love. What we learn here is going to help us to better understand God's love for us, but beyond that, to see how God's love in us should then flow through us to others. So to guide our message, let's note from our text three outflows, three resulting truths from the fact that God is love. We typically follow a simple outline of alliterated thoughts. I'm going to give you some sentences this morning as our main thoughts, okay? With that theme of because God is love. And here's our first thought I'd like for us to consider. First of all, because God is love, we can and should love one another. If you're stuck on alliteration, we could say this is the reason to love. Okay, verse 7. John said, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." So in verse 7, John reminds believers that we are to love one another. This is not a new commandment. This is a restating of things he's already said earlier in the letter. It's a restating of what Jesus taught his disciples while he was walking on earth. But as John reminds us that we are responsible to love one another, we are commanded to love one another. As John does this, he presents a primary reason why and how we can love. John explains that God is love. And because God is love, if he who is love lives within us, then we have the capacity for that love to flow through us to others. Because God is love, we can love. We are not of the world, okay? The world hates God and the world hates God's children, but we are of God. And if we are of God who is love, then he will love his children through us. And everyone who loves as God loves shows that they've been born of him. Shows that they've been born of God, born of the Holy Spirit into the family of God. In verse 8, John explains that those who do not love, and the word for love here is agape. This is, you could say, the highest form of love. This is the love of God, this divine love. Those who don't love as God loves show that they do not know God. And that could mean, first of all, that they don't have a saving knowledge of Him. They're not saved. They're not born again. But John's writing to believers, and the primary application would be this. If you and I as Christians do not love as we should love, we really don't know God intimately as we think we might. Now, the world loves, but only those who are indwelt by God's Spirit can love as God loves. Luke 6:32 says, "But if you love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them." So the world has a capacity to show themselves friendly and loving toward those who love them. But they cannot love as God loves because God doesn't live within them. This is not our capacity in and of ourselves. This is not our power. This is something that we are only able to do by virtue of the fact that God is love and God lives in us. Only those who are indwelt by God's Spirit, who produces love in us, can love others as God loves. Luke 6:35, "But love your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest, for He is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil." Now, a sincere believer who recognizes their weakness, as they read those verses, would ask this question: how can I love that like that? Anybody ever experienced trouble loving your enemies? I mean, let's be honest this morning. We can take off our, you know, shiny faces just for a minute. Loving our enemies, if we are honest about ourselves and our deceitful, selfish hearts, we'd have to say, I can't do that. And we can't in and of our own strength. And John is not writing here saying, now, brethren, you need to gird up your strength and with all your willpower and everything that you are, you need to love your enemies. Oh, no, try that and you will fail. But if you get a hold of the fact and grasp the truth that God Himself really is love and God lives within me, that means there lives within me the capacity and an inexhaustible river of love that can flow from me. Because God is love, we can love. We have His nature within us, and therefore we have a new capacity to love others as He loves. Galatians 5:22 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Those who are born of and filled with or controlled by the Spirit of God will bear the fruit of love." Again, this is not a work of the flesh, but this is the fruit of abiding in fellowship with God, as Jesus described in John 15. Living out this truth, understanding, grasping this truth, and letting it become a reality in our lives can rescue many relationships and many homes. You get two young people, they become interested in one another, and they think, wow, this person is just perfect, for me at least. And then they get married, and you know, you're married for 5, 10, 15, 20 years, 30, hundreds, like some of y'all. No, anyhow. That, and you figure out this person is not perfect. You think, how can I continue loving this person as God demands that I do? You can't. But because God is love, if He lives within you, you can love. And many relationships, again, and homes can be rescued if you'll recognize that God is love and He lives within you. Secondly, because God is love, we can live. See, the reason for love, why and how we're able to love. Secondly, though, we could say it this way, the revealing of love. And it's seen in verses 9 through 11. "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him." In verse 9, John reminds us how God revealed his love for us by sending his Son Jesus Christ into the world that we might live through him. Now, what does that mean? Well, first of all, it means that God sent his Son Jesus Christ to die on the cross. He shed his blood. 3 days later, he rose from the dead to provide eternal life. He sent his Son so that we might have eternal life by faith in him, that we might live through him in that sense. But there's more to it. And again, John's writing to believers. And God loved us, and he sent his Son Jesus Christ so that God's very own life, and we might even say God's very own love, might be lived through us, so that we might live through him. Because God is love, we can live. God's love sent Jesus Christ here to give us salvation. Yes, to give us eternal life and eternal home with God, but so that even now God's eternal life, his character might live through us, so that his life might flow through us as branches in the vine or branches of a river. John told us in John 3:16 that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God loved so we can live eternally. Galatians 2:20, though, Paul said, "This I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me." Christ liveth through me. I'm living through him. He's living through me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So, because God is love, you and I can live. His life, his very own life can be lived through us. And it all comes back to the fact that God is love. That's what motivated him to send his Son. Now in verse 10, John again elaborates on how God demonstrated his love toward us. He said, "Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." There John further describes God's love in that while we didn't love him, we were his enemies, yet God loved us while we were yet sinners. He sent his Son to be the propitiation or the satisfaction for our sins. Someone said it this way, what God's law demanded because of our sin, God's love provided in his Son. He sent Jesus Christ to be the satisfaction, the satisfactory sacrifice for our sins. You and I need to be reminded that God is not satisfied with our works. It's not our works that gains us favor and acceptance with God. Jesus Christ is the propitiation. He is the one who satisfied, and God is satisfied with us only as we are in Christ. Some of you are here, perhaps, and you're trying to earn favor with God. You're, quote-unquote, trying to work your way to heaven. You will never do it. But God loved you, and so he sent Jesus Christ to provide the only satisfying sacrifice for sin. And if you'll receive him, he will accept you with full privileges in his Son, Jesus Christ. Our being forgiven, having eternal life and enjoying God's life in us is all based upon the sacrifice of his Son. Our life is in Christ's blood, and Christ's blood was given because God is love. Thirdly, because God is love, we can see him. Because God is love, we can see him. Verse 12. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. Skipped over verse 11, didn't I? Verse 11, John reiterates that command again, because God so loved us, we can and should love others. Love so amazing, so divine, demands that we share it And again, if God is, who is love, if that great love dwells within us, it will come out. But verse 12, John again says, no man hath seen God at any time. John explains there in the first sentence of verse 12 that no mortal being, no mortal man, has ever been able to see God fully revealed and unveiled at any time. Okay, for us in our present state to see God fully as He really is would consume us. We're not able to behold such awesome glory as we presently stand. Exodus 33:20. Moses had expressed his desire. He said, Lord, show me thy glory. I want to see what you are like, God. I want to see your character revealed without any veil. Well, he could not be granted that privilege at that time. Exodus 33:20, the Lord said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. So God is so holy, He is so glorious that we cannot see Him as He is in our present state. Now, God doesn't desire to hide Himself from us. It's not that God doesn't want us to see Him. It's that, again, in our present state, we cannot see Him as He fully is. Well, God wants us to see Him, and this is another reason why He sent His Son, Jesus Christ. He was God come in human flesh. He took on a veil of human flesh, so that we might look upon Him, that we might look upon God and not die, but live. John 6:46 says, not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he which came out from God, he hath seen the Father. And then John 14 and verse 9, Jesus said to Philip, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. So though we can't see God fully revealed as we are in the person of Jesus Christ, we see God. We see the character of God. In Jesus, we see the love of God. We see the righteousness of God. Hebrews 1:3 says of Jesus, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, Jesus is literally the icon of God. We understand icons in computer language, right? Look at an icon on a computer screen or on a cell phone, and that icon represents something behind it. It represents a full program or an application, and Jesus Christ is the representative of everything that God is, especially His love. So John says, and it almost seems like it's disconnected to everything else he's saying. He's saying God is love. We should love one another. If a person doesn't love as God loves, he doesn't know God. And now he says, no man hath seen God at any time. But is it disconnected? Absolutely, it is not. We read on in the second half of verse 12, John said, if we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. Though we may not see God in our present state, and we've never with our eyes seen Jesus, we may in effect see God as His love flows through us. As we let God's love accomplish its purpose in us, that we love others, we're able to see that God dwells within us. And others can look at us and say, well, I see the love of God in that person. I see Jesus in you. Because God is love and God lives within us, we can see God, and others can see God in us. God is seen in us as we love. Verse 13, John further explains, it's because God has given us His Spirit, who is the specific member of the Trinity who produces this love in us. Because God has given us His Spirit, as He produces that love within us, we're then able to know that God is in us and we are in Him as we're filled with the Spirit. He causes God's love to overflow within us, and this assures us that we are God's child. Romans 5:5 says, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And Romans 8:16 says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. May I ask you this morning, can others see God in you? Listen, if God is love and God lives in you, others ought to be able to see God's love in you. And again, this is not a matter of us trying to work things up and do this in our own strength. We cannot. But understand that God is love. And believe that He lives within you and let that love flow through you. Because God is love, there is within the heart of every believer a powerful, inexhaustible river of love. So let's be pure from sin. Let's be filled with the Spirit and so open the floodgate of God's love that it might flow freely through us, assuring us that God is within us and giving witness to the world that Jesus Christ is love and He lives within us. Lord, thank You for Your word. Thank You, God, for revealing to us the truth that You are love. We're thankful, God, that You are holy, that You are righteous, even that You are a consuming fire. And yet we are thankful for this wonderful truth that You are love. I pray, Lord, that we would meditate much on that. And Lord, that as we recognize that You are love and that You live within us, God, that You would live through us. That we would live through Christ, that He would live through us, Lord, and let Your love flow through our lives to those around us. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I ask you this question. Have you believed in God's love for you? Have you received it personally? Do you believe that Jesus Christ loves you, that He died on the cross, He loved you, and He gave Himself for you? Friend, let me tell you something. That is truth. That is true. God loves you. He sent His Son to die for you. Jesus Himself laid down His life for you. Have you received that love? It would be a terrible thing for someone to show us such extravagant love and then for us to just reject it as if it were nothing. God so loved us. Have you received Him? Is Jesus Christ your Lord? Are you alive in Him? Do you have eternal life? Have you been born again? Is there anyone here today that would say, "Preacher, if I have to be honest before the Lord today, as I look at my life, I would say, you know what, I don't believe I've ever truly been born again. I've never taken God's love personally." If God's been working in your heart, would you right now be willing to open your heart and let Him come into your life? The Lord said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in to him." God has left the handle of the door on the inside. You've got to open it. He will not force Himself in. He's a perfect gentleman. But would you receive Him? Is there anyone here today that would say, "Preacher, yes, today I want to do that. I want to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. And right here as I sit in this pew before God, I'm saying, Lord, look on me. I believe that You loved me. I believe that Jesus Christ died on that cross for me. He rose again. And this day, right here, right now, just as I am, I want to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior." If that's your decision today, would you quietly raise your hand before the Lord? You'd say, "Yes, today I'm making the decision to receive Jesus Christ." All right, Christian, is the love of God flowing through you? God is love. He lives within you. That means you have, again, an inexhaustible river of love within you. And if that love is not flowing from you, it's not because your flesh is weaker than somebody else's flesh, or you're not a strong Christian, or this or that. There's something blocking it. There's something choking the channel. And is there some sin in your life that's keeping you from being Spirit-filled, that's keeping the fruit of love from being produced in your heart? Maybe God has spoken to you through His Word today, even in a way that has not been specifically mentioned, but would you surrender your heart to the Lord? Would you confess the sin? Remove anything that's blocking that river of love from flowing through you and enjoy it. As God's love flows through us, we enjoy the benefit of it, as do those around us. Our lives can become a channel a blessing, a channel of God's love. We certainly want that. Lord, I pray that we might be obedient to you today, and that each one of us that know you as Savior would indeed be a channel of blessing, a channel of your love. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.